Morning is Bennett versus Department of Corrections.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Martin. Do you want to reserve any time?
3 minutes. We're here to appeal the summary judgment dismissal of Officer Bennett's case.
Counsel, I have some questions that I'd like to ask you about one of the claims, so I'd like to get to those right off the bat. The focus of my questions is on the disparate treatment claim, and what I would like you to do to respond to the questions and limit your responses to those things that took place after January 2011. January 2011 is the statute of limitations. In reading Mr. Bennett's declaration opposing summary judgment, it's my understanding that one of the disparate treatment claims is based on a September 15th, 2011, in his words, turn away from promotional possibilities at Cedar Creek. Is that correct?
That's one.
Okay, so that's one of the it's at CP 199 for your information. So that's one of the disparate treatment claims. A second disparate treatment claim, as I understand it, is August 22nd, 2012. That was another denial of promotional possibilities. Is that correct?
Yes.
And in that declaration, there's also reference to other dates in 2012 and 2013 that I take it are promotional denials. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Any detail beyond what is in the declaration?
Just besides what's in his declaration, no.
Okay, thank you. The next claim for disparate treatment, I understand, is January 26, 2013. That was based on a dispute between your client and one of the prisoners that resulted in a report of an alleged violation of the Prison Rape Elimination Act?
Yes.
Okay. In that declaration, your client refers to the fact that other correction officers, white correction officers, engaged in the same activity but were not similarly punished.
Yes.
There is no naming of who those individuals are in the declaration that I could find. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. The next is an April 9th, 2013 application for acting sergeant position that was subsequently withdrawn. That's part of your disparate treatment claim as well?
Disparate treatment and hostile environment claim, yes.
Okay, thank you. Now, other than the items that I've listed out of your client's declaration, is there any other fact within the time period I'm interested in that you assert as part of the disparate treatment claim?
I don't believe so.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. How I would explain this, I mean, this is a almost like a new form of discrimination, and that's what I would call an administrative sort of hostile environment and discrimination where, you know, the Department of Corrections is a very sophisticated employer. They have thousands of pages of policies and procedures. This is a prison. Mr. Bennett is one of very few African-American correctional officers at this prison. And what we see here is just, you know, he is faced time after time, and he's under these constant investigations from everything from reading a newspaper to using the bathroom to getting into these disputes with prisoners. The prisoners pick up on you know, that Mr. Bennett is not respected by his fellow officers. They make accusations against him, and we just have essentially.
Does the department have any discretion to not investigate any of these complaints?
I believe that, you know, there should be some sort of gatekeeping device, you know, before these complaints get past go. And otherwise, you're going to have a situation where, especially in a large administrative organization like the DLC, where the person can literally just be put under investigation after investigation, as Mr. Bennett was.
Do you have any case where any court has taken that approach?
No, and I guess that's my argument, is that I, you know, what the DOC does is, you know, they put Mr. Bennett and individuals like him under an investigation continuously in an attempt to put so much pressure on him that it causes a hostile environment, forces him to quit. When he files an internal discrimination complaint, the Department of Corrections is smart enough to have that their two investigators are African Americans that look into these internal investigation complaints. I don't believe I've ever seen a case where they've actually found that there was a hostile environment. And so
we have to impute to the department the conduct of the prisoners making complaints for your approach to prevail, the gatekeeper approach?
Well, not only the prisoners, but also...
Well, it might be a little easier with the other employees.
Employees,
why I picked
yeah.
The prisoners.
You know, there has to be some sort of gatekeeper approach. Otherwise, you can have a situation where other employees put the word out with prisoners to file complaints against this particular person. We want to put pressure on this person to quit, and you have a situation where...
Is there any evidence in this record that occurred?
Just the sheer number of investigations and Mr. Bennett's testimony that others were not similarly disciplined or put under investigation for using curse words or doing the things that he was in fact investigated for. But there's we don't have statistical information, you know, to prove that, no.
Anecdotal information.
We have anecdotal information from Mr. Bennett, who confirms that he is the only one that's been treated this way, the only one that's being disciplined and written up continuously for these what would otherwise be a non-issue for a Caucasian correctional officer.
You'll use your last 8 seconds?
Yeah, I won't. Thank you.
Good morning. If it may please the court, my name is Garth Ahern, and I represent the Department of Corrections in this case. We're asking this court to affirm the trial court's ruling for three reasons. First off, plaintiff failed to create a question of fact regarding a disparate treatment claim. Second, plaintiff failed to create a question of fact regarding his retaliation claim. And then finally, plaintiff failed to establish that there was a question of fact in regards to his hostile work environment.
I have some questions for you as well.
Certainly, Your Honor.
The January 26, 2013 claim of disparate treatment relates to the incident involving the prisoner, alleged use of foul language by the correction officer.
Yes, Your Honor.
In connection that resulted in the Prison Rape Elimination Act investigation.
Certainly.
In the declaration of Mr. Bennett, he claims that there were other correction officers who engaged in the same kind of conduct but were not similarly disciplined. So the question I have for you is why that does not raise a genuine issue of material fact.
It does not create a general issue of material fact for a number of reasons. And I think as I believe as Judge Leach touched on, Prison Rape Elimination Act allegations, the department is fairly mandated to investigate.
I understand that.
And so once it receives a statement such as that was alleged to have made here, it has to conduct an investigation. Now, Mr. Bennett has claimed that others have made statements. But the problem that we have with that is that he doesn't identify anyone else that where a prisoner has reported similar type language, and then the department says, nah, we're not going to investigate.
Well, let's back up.
Certainly.
When we go through the McDonnell analysis, we have the first being the establishment of a prima facie case.
Mm-hmm.
Given his declaration, has he established a prima facie case?
No, because he's
why not?
Because he's failed to provide any admissible evidence of other individuals where a complaint was made about them making a statement and the department failed to investigate that statement. For example, there's no evidence that a white male Caucasian employee, excuse me, I'm repeating myself, made a similar statement. That statement was reported, and the department failed to investigate that matter.
So your position is he doesn't get to the second base with respect to you having to provide a reasonable explanation and then him having to assert pretext. Is that your argument?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
All right.
Because as part of his prima facie element or burden, he has to show that a similarly situated employee was treated differently. And he doesn't do that. He just says, well, other people curse in the workplace. Well, I mean, I admit there's probably that does go on. But the problem is you have to go to the second step is that was reported and that report was failed to be investigated by the department and he failed to provide that testimony. In addition, Mr. Bennett makes a number of other leaps in his analysis throughout his case that is why the department's, why the trial court's ruling should be affirmed. You look at, for example, the number of different employment actions he claims in regards to disparate treatment claims. And again, he fails to go through that analysis showing that there is a similarly situated person that was treated differently during those opportunities. I'm going to go through a number of them here because I think it's important to establish that. First off, in 2000.
Well, before you do that, I don't want to cut you off, the time's short.
Mm-hmm.
I want to shift focus here with respect to the retaliation claim. What's your understanding of what the retaliation claim is, one, and two, why isn't it viable?
What's my understanding of Mr. Bennett's retaliation claim? Mr. Bennett has frankly claimed everything is retaliation, but if we boil it down to the job opportunities that he's discussing, I can quickly run through them. There's a 2011 WCCW CC3 position. He never makes any claim that was a retaliatory act. Then he has a lieutenant position that was the reason he didn't get interviewed for that was there was a computer review of the initial applications for that. The computer rejected his application. There's no evidence that the computer was aware of any acts by Mr. Bennett, or that the computer was even aware that Mr. Bennett was African American. More importantly, there's no other evidence that the model that the computer used to analyze his application was somehow formed in a way that would discriminate against someone like Mr. Bennett, who has engaged in some type of protected action in the past. So that's out. Then going on to the permanent sergeant position, he withdrew from that position. You can't say someone was retaliated unless they go through the actual process. Same with Cedar Creek and the Mission Creek applications they apply for. In both of those cases, there's no evidence that the decision makers in those processes even knew that Mr. Bennett had engaged in some type of activity that they could retaliate against him. There's not even evidence that they even know Mr. Bennett. So again, those are a number of other cases where plaintiff failed to establish a prima facie case of retaliation. Is there a specific one that you're interested in that I've not addressed? Going on, then the temporary sergeant position they applied for. Again, there they failed to show that the decision maker on that act, he was even aware of any actions that Mr. Bennett had engaged in that case. In fact, they don't even show who got the job. So going through each one of those, Mr. Bennett fails to establish a prima facie case of retaliation. Then moving on to his final claim is the hostile work environment claim. We have a number of allegations post-2011. There's really two that I can point to that in regards to DOC employees. One is an incident that occurs after there's a complaint about Mr. Bennett's own behavior. Mr. Bennett's explanation for some of his behavior was, well, an individual called me a grand poobah, and then there was a statement regarding someone, I don't know if exactly was the original person said, it's a white man's world.
This is at the gate, right?
This is the gate incident. I think that happened somewhere around 2011 or 2012. Then there's a separate incident, 2013, 2014 timeframe. Mr. Bennett really didn't indicate exactly when, where there's this incident in the front foyer area where they discuss someone allegedly made a statement in regards to fried chicken. Now, even if those two statements, all those statements put together, that's simply just not enough to create a hostile work environment claim, especially when they're not imputable statements to the department. The second statement certainly were never made or reported to the department, so the department had an opportunity to investigate those matters. The first statements, the incident with the grand poobah, those were investigated, and ultimately it was determined that those statements were not made. But even if the department got that wrong, those individual statements alone are not enough to establish a hostile work environment claim. And that's why the trial court properly granted summary judgment in this case. Now, Mr. Bennett, to try to get around that, has made a continuing violation theory argument. But the problem with that is that the statements that, if you go back to what he's relying on, they're statements that are allegedly made almost 10 years prior in another institution, in another environment, by individuals that are non-imputable to the department. And there's no, unlike in, and the name of the case is escaping me now, but it starts with an A, unlike in that case where you have continuing ongoing behavior in the same department, in the same location, that's not what you have in this case. And that's why the trial court properly granted summary judgment. Now, is there a specific incident that the court would like me to address? Otherwise,
nope.
I'm going to wrap it up. All right. Well, thank you very much for allowing me to have this opportunity. The trial court properly granted summary judgment in this case for three reasons. Plaintiff failed to establish a prima facie case of disparate treatment, retaliation, and a hostile work environment claim. Thank you.
I guess by the Department of Corrections argument, we would almost need scientific evidence to prove discrimination, and I don't believe that that's the standard.
Let me ask you a question. Sure. Does Grand Poobah have some discriminatory suggestion, or is it limited to the Gilbert and Sullivan arena?
I believe it does have a discriminatory intent.
And why is that?
That's commonly known to be, the leader of the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan. So,
right.
Someone recognizing themselves as the Grand Poobah in front of an African American is essentially saying that they're affiliated with the KKK or a leader of the KKK.
Is there a place you would refer us to confirm that that label describes that person?
What's that?
Grand Poobah describes a KKK leader. Is there something you could refer us to that we would confirm that? You say that. I've never heard that before, so I was kind of surprised. So, I learned there are a lot of things I don't know. So
sure.
I wonder if there's something I can look at.
You know, not in the record.
Is there a well-recognized writer or book, treatise, anything?
I found it when I looked at, when I did my own research on the internet, that's a common reference.
So if we Googled it on the internet, we would see that.
I believe so.
But question whether we get to do that.
Yeah. But I guess my argument is that I don't think we have to have scientific evidence to prove a case like this. And it seems like, the department is, we have a lot of cases together. They're a sophisticated employer, and they are sophisticated and knowing how to shut down a discrimination case and to argue that we don't have the proof. And the proof is Mr. Bennett's experience, the constant investigations, the denial. I mean, he's done everything that he could possibly do to get promoted. I mean, he's gone back to school. He's, his performance has been exceptional, and he still hasn't been promoted. He's still working there and still trying and has just gotten repeatedly shut down. We believe that he does have a viable claim for disparate treatment, hostile work environment, and retaliation, as for your reverse.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Court will be in recess.
All right.